Okay, good morning, everyone. We are holding in the midst of Perek Hey, the fifth chapter in Tanya. Actually, towards the end. This Perek, we were learning, we had an interruption of 2 weeks, so just want to refresh everybody's mind. We were learning about the power of the study of Torah. Bechlau, we're learning in this, the Tanya over here, in these few chapters, is talking about and developing the concept of Nefesh Elikis, of the godly soul that we all possess. So in Perek Beis, he spoke about the essence of the soul. What is its substance? What is it made out of? And he says it's made out of godliness. It comes from Hashem's mind. That's why we're called children of Hashem and so forth. And then he went into a whole explanation of even though souls are different, qualities of souls, higher souls, lower souls, but that doesn't change the fact that every neshama and its very core essence stems from the same place. The difference is only in how the soul develops when it comes down into the world. That was in Perek Beis. Perek Gimel, he began to dissect the soul and to develop and speak about the various different powers of the neshama. And he says that every soul has 10 powers that make up its inner structure, its inner personality. 10 powers are 3 intellectual powers, 7 emotional powers, and these 10 powers are derived from the Eser Sefiras, from the divine powers. Because the Neshama is a piece of God from above, so just like Hashem manifests himself, Hashem assumes a personality of 10 Sefiras to relate to the world. So to the Neshama also has 10 personality traits. However, so he explains that being that this is the soul, the holy soul, so all of its personality traits are in the holy, in the realm of the holy, which means its intellect is a very, very refined intelligence, a very elegant mind, in which the neshama has the ability to appreciate, to conceive, and to apprehend godliness. The non-Jewish mind generally does not have that refinement to be able to have the same kind. Godliness does not click in the mind of the non-Jew in the same way it clicks in the Jewish mind. Because the mind of the Nefesh HaBahamas, of the animal souls, we're going to learn soon, is a coarse mind. It's programmed to know, to recognize, to appreciate the material, physical elements. So it might be have a quest for knowledge, but its quest for knowledge is mainly in the sciences. It wants to know existence after existence already exists. The Nefesh HaLikis, the godly soul, has a knack for pre-existence. It wants to know that which is not stuff, that which is not fixed substance. It has a feel, it has a draw to know the unknown, what is beyond existence. Because that's its nature. It's a very, very refined soul. Now, not again, there's always, you know, exceptions, and you have sometimes a non-Jew who has a unique draw, and that's usually someone who later will evolve and be drawn to the Jewish people. That's something else. But the general element of our Nefesh HaLikis has a very unique sense of its intelligence is very refined and very, very abstract intelligence. Now, that's the intellect, and then the emotions. The emotions of the godly soul is its ability to either love God or fear God. Those are the two primary emotions. Or to pride itself with Hashem, and to praise God, and so forth. So these are the 7, I mean, you're going to get into all the 7, but these are the 7 emotional traits of the godly soul. These elements make up who the person is in their inner core. Then, he says, however, there is also 3 modes of expression, which he says are thought, speech, and action. That's Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet introduces the garments of the soul, meaning these are the ways in which the intellect is expressed, because a person can have a lot of knowledge in their mind. Right now, as we're sitting over here, there's so many things we know, but it's stored in our knowledge. It's not necessarily right now on our screen, like a computer, as we spoke about. A computer has so much programs and so many files. It's all there, but it's not all active at all times. It's not on the screen. Thought means you're taking one in thought. What you're doing is you're putting it on your conscious screen for at this moment. Like you're clicking on a program and you're revealing it. That's the idea of thought. So thought is an expression in where the mind expresses one of its ideas into the conscious arena of the human being at that moment. But that's not the person himself. That's just a garment, because you can switch that. You can shut down this program and open up the next program. Open up another window, and suddenly you're focused on something else. So this is not who you are, this is how you're expressing yourself. And what are they? Thought, speech, and action. Thought is expression to self, speech is expression to other human beings, and action is expressing your ideas into the world, into the substances of the world. That's the thought, speech, and action, which are the garments of the soul. being that this is a holy soul, a nefesh elikis, so we understand what will follow, that all of its expressions will be holy. So all thought, speech, and action emanating from the soul will be holy thought, speech, and action. In particular, he says, what are they? Those are thought, speech, and action of Torah and mitzvahs. Because generally, the whole realm of Torah and mitzvahs involves one of these three garments. Study Torah, you have to think, or you have to say the words, or doing saying blessings, or praying, you're saying it with your word, with your mouth. Besides the inner feelings, but it has to come out into the thought or into the speech or the act of mitzvahs, which are action. Then he drops a bombshell. He really reveals something very powerful, which is very powerful in the whole concept of Tanya, is that contrary to what we would think that the thought, speech, and action, being that they're only expressions of the soul, they're inferior and lesser value than the soul itself. Because an expression is always weaker than that which it is expressing. So the source of something is stronger than its effect, than what's coming out of it. Nevertheless, he explained, no, the thought, speech, and action of the soul is higher than the soul itself. Why? Because here is where the soul actually meets God, Hashem himself. Because Torah and mitzvahs, the garments in which the soul expresses itself, they are Hashem himself. Because Hashem and his Torah and Hashem and his mitzvahs are one. Because what is the Torah? Hashem's wisdom. What are the mitzvahs? Hashem's desire, Hashem's will. And God and his will are one, God and his wisdom are one. So when a neshama learns Torah, or when a neshama does a mitzvah, he is now immersing himself, his or herself, into the divine will and into the divine wisdom, thereby attaining a connection to that which is otherwise unattainable and unreachable. As he said, there's no way for a person to, what's it called again, to cleave and to connect to Hashem be'emes, in truth, only through the medium of Torah and mitzvahs. Because Hashem, he says, that is really, as the Zohar says, leis machshav v'tfisabe, there's no thought that can grasp it. But the beauty of Torah and mitzvahs is that Hashem compressed himself and contracted himself down into these thoughts, speech, and into the Torah, and brought the Torah down from its very, very, very sublime and unknowable state, and brought it down to the human condition, to the human world, so that we can connect to him in thought, in speech, and even in action. And when a person does that, his soul gets bound up with Hashem. He says, and he also in that perek, that there are 613 commandments, because Hashem wants us to have a full and comprehensive joining with him. Being that there are 613 facets and powers within the soul, within the person, limbs in the body, and also within the soul, in order for us to have a full-fledged connection to him, that there shouldn't be any part of us that is not joined with him, he extends himself to us in 613 commandments, so that we can connect every limb and every element and every power and every nuance of our soul, of our being with him. So when a person does all of the Torah and all of the mitzvahs in thought, speech, and in action, he has enclosed himself completely in Hashem. As he says, Kulay Tzrura B'Tzrei Rachayim, the entire human being is enveloped in the infinite light of Hashem. That was the concept that he explained in Perek Dalet. In Perek Hey, he continues. And he says, well, that's really amazing. And the example that he gives in the end is that it's like a person who's hugging the king, who's embracing and being embraced by the king. He says that the embrace, and even though the king is wearing garments, meaning even though we don't see the godly light in the Torah, we don't see the infinite depth and the infinite dimension of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, it's still the king. The king is still invested in those garments, whether we're aware of it, whether we're not aware of it. So it's like a person being embracing the king when the king has garments. That was when Perek Dalet. Perek Hey, he comes and he says, well, Torah now, based on what we learned now, we're going to understand how Torah is really infinitely, it has a mila, has a very, very, very tremendous advantage over mitzvahs. As the sages say, V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, that the study of Torah is equivalent to the mitzvahs and greater than them. Why is so great about Talmud Torah? So he says, we'll understand this because here's the thing. Of course, the light, Hashem is vested in Torah and in mitzvahs equally. If the Torah is his, it's one with him, and the mitzvahs are one with him. So it's not a difference in the godly light. The godly light is equal in Torah and in mitzvahs. However, the type of joining in which the person joins with it, with that light, and connects to it, is different in Torah than in mitzvahs. Because our connection to Hashem through Torah is far deeper and stronger than our connection to Hashem when we do a mitzvah. Why? Why is in Torah our attachment a stronger attachment? So he explains. It's because when a person studies something, The idea that which you're studying, the concept that you're comprehending, is entering into your mind. Two things happen when you study, he says. That's first thing, the first thing. When a person studies a concept, there's a concept, there's an idea, and there's you. And now you're bringing your mind closer to the idea. You're trying, you're exploring it, you're investigating it. You're reading a book, you see a foreign concept. The idea is alien to your mind. You're not thinking this way. This is not the way you thought. This is not part of your knowledge. It's not part of your knowledge base. It's not part of your mindset. However, you study it and you learn it. And you say, this makes sense. And then the more you're learning it and the more you study it, till you understand it thoroughly, till it becomes something that, yeah, of course. Yeah, this is the way I would resolve it. This makes a lot of sense. If two people have a dispute, so and so, if you really, really get into the details and understanding of it, this would be the best way to resolve this thing. So now it becomes conceivable and understandable in your mind that this is the way it is. What happens? This idea has become your thinking pattern. It's become part of the person. Now, if this concept is God, because he and his wisdom are one, so Hashem has joined the human being. A godly idea, which is divine, which is one with Hashem, that idea has now entered into the human being, that the person has now assimilated godliness into his mind. That's different than in a mitzvah. Because in a mitzvah, you can't assimilate it into you. In a mitzvah, you can be embraced by the holiness of the mitzvah. You enter into the mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah, you're surrendering to the commandment. The commandment is bigger than the person. You're not grasping it, you're not taking it. Quite on the contrary, it is grasping the person. So there is a joining, but a one-way joining. The holiness of the mitzvah is surrounding the human being. When you're studying Torah, you, the person, is now taking the concept in that he and the idea become totally one. So the person has now become Hashem has entered into the human being in the most internalized way. Now, a second thing when you're learning Torah is that while you're studying a concept, before you conceive the idea, before you conceive it, that's after you, what we spoke about till now is after you conceive the idea. But then before you conceive the idea, as you're conceiving it, your mind is preoccupied in the idea. Which means you can't think anything else because right now I'm thinking this. What does that mean? It's like your mind, your brain, your intellect is now, intelligence is swimming within you don't grasp it yet. You don't understand it yet. You're trying to grasp it. You don't have it yet, but you're immersed in it. Now, being that idea is Hashem, so here your mind is swimming in a divine pool, in a pool of godliness. Once you grasped it, you've swallowed that pool. You've taken it into you. Now it became part of your mind. So here you have a double connection. The person is enveloped in Hashem, and he is enveloping Hashem. And that's, he says, there is no such unity in the world where two things can unite. Our intimacy and connection with God, when we study Torah, is so powerful and so strong that there is no other connection. So it's not like we say, you can have relationships with human beings, you can connect to other people, you can get married, you can have a relationship with your spouse and children, and then you can also have a relationship with Hashem. He says, no, your relationship with Hashem is so much deeper and stronger than your relationship with anybody else. Because here you become totally one, completely one with Hashem, from all sides, from inside, from outside. An embrace. That's what we learned, basically. Anybody that studies Torah, when a person is, and now he adds, and that is the Maile, he says, in Torah study itself, there are two parts to Torah study. He says because there is one part of Torah study is the mitzvah of saying the words, of uttering the words of Torah, the mitzvah of studying. Then there's the mitzvah of knowing Torah. It's a mitzvah to know Torah. And it's an incumbent on every person to know the entire Torah. Everybody has the capability to do it, but it's a chiyuv to study until we know. It's a mitzvah yediyas haTorah. We're supposed to learn to know the Torah, which means to know. What does it mean to know the entire Torah? The Torah is so much. It means to know the main body of the law, to know the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, and the law, the main infrastructure of the law of Torah. It's an obligation for a person to know that. And he says, in that there is a very big mila over, an advantage, over the other mitzvah of Torah, of the actual mitzvah of saying Torah, learning Torah. Because the mitzvah of learning Torah, not the comprehension of Torah, is like any mitzvah. You're doing what Hashem wants. So you're enveloped by Hashem's light. But in the mitzvah of knowing Torah, God has entered into the person. So there's a deeper connection. And that's why he continued and he said, that's why mitzvahs, not limudat Torah, is also called, that's why it's compared to food, to nourishment. It says, and compared to mitzvahs, Torah is called the nourishment, the food of the soul. Why is Torah called the food of the soul? Because just like food, just like the body needs food, the soul needs food. But how does food support the body? How does food contribute life to the body? It gives life to the body. How does it give life to the body? The only way food can have an effect on you is if you take it in. Not only are you supposed to take it in, but sometimes if you take food in but it doesn't digest, it's not doing anything. The only way for it to have the benefit from the food is that the food has to digest. What does it mean, digesting? Digesting means that the food has to be integrated into the body. It becomes the body. The nutrients and all the positive elements of the food, the good that's in the food, has to be absorbed in the body. There are some people that don't absorb their food. So even if they eat healthy, they're not deriving the benefits. It's not coming into them. So you have to. It requires a digestion. Now, the neshama also needs nourishment. What's the nourishment of the soul? Hashem, you need the neshama has... Hashem is the source of life. For the neshama to be nourished, it has to take godliness into itself, into its bloodstream, so to speak. How does godliness enter the soul's bloodstream? Not through a mitzvah. In a mitzvah, Hashem remains hovering above the neshama. When we're studying Torah, as we said earlier, the idea, which contains the infinite wisdom, which contains Hashem's wisdom, which is one with Him, enters into the person. And again, this is only when you understand something thoroughly to the point when you're not quoting anymore. That's the idea. Once, when you're still quoting, it's like you didn't digest it yet. So when a person says something and he's quoting someone else, you feel like they're not saying it. When is it that they're saying it? When they're saying it, they know it so well, they don't have to quote anybody. It's not like it says so. Yeah. This is just the way it is. When you stop to quote, that means this has now become you. This is your own thinking. You can say it in your own words. Sometimes you want to give over what was said in a class, and you're using the words of the teacher. If you're using the words of the teacher, it's not your words. To really process something, that you can take it out of those words and you put it into your own words, that means it has become you. Now, in our case, that's what he's saying over here. When a person studies Torah, then the Torah has become the person, so it's like food, because now the neshama has been nourished. That's what we learned up till now. It's called mazayin lenefesh. Let's read over again, just these words. So l'chein, this is in on page. Let's get the in the Tanya over here. It's on page Perek Hey. Wait, you want one? You okay? Okay, so it's in Perek Hey. Page 18, l'chein nikras b'shem lechem u'mazayin. That's why the Torah is called bread and it's called sustenance. Mazen ha-nefesh, and sustenance for the soul. Just like physical bread. Zanes ha-guf, nourishes the body. When? When you take it into yourself, v'kirbo, and into your innards, v'kirbo mamish, and literally into the innards of the person, v'nehepach sham liyaz damu basar kipsaroi, and it gets turned over there. And when it gets converted, when it comes into the body, it gets converted to become blood and flesh as the person's flesh himself. And then yichya v'yiskayim. And then the person is enlivened, v'yiskayim, and he's sustained. Kach so too, b'yediyas ha-Torah, when a person knows Torah. V'hasagasa, and his comprehension. B'nefesh ha-Adam, when the soul of the person comprehends Torah ideas and Torah concepts. When is that? That is only Sheloim Dehetiv, when he studies it well. Be'ion Sichloi, with the comprehension, when he studies it well, with the concentration of his intellect, when he deeply immerses and fully concentrates on it. Achen Etzveses B'Sichloi, till it's grasped in his mind. U'mesachedes Imo, and it unifies with him. And they become united with the person. So it's like food that has become part of the body. It's no more food. They have to stop. Has to cease being food. It has to become the person. So then, nasa mazon lenefesh. That becomes food to the soul. V'chayim bikirba, and it becomes life in the soul. Literally, the neshama has now taken life. That's why we say about the Torah, kihem chayenu. This is our life. He's explaining it in a very literal sense, because Hashem is life. When you're digesting God, that's awesome. You're digesting godliness, because Torah is Hashem is vested in the Torah. The Torah comes down to us in a physical form. We study it till we fully comprehend it, and that's another reason why why it's important not just to learn. Someone can say, you know what, I love so much the mystical parts of the Torah. Why do I have to spend time learning Mishnah, Talmud, Gemara, which is more of the Torah as it has become encased in a more physical encasement? Why can't I study the Torah when it is a few notches higher, in a more abstract state? And the answer is, the degree of comprehension and understanding is stronger when you're learning it in the physical sense. Because when we're learning abstract things, when you're learning Torah, the more mystical elements of the Torah, even though Chassidus explains it in a way that you can somewhat understand it, even after you understand it, you don't really, really know the substance of what you're talking about. Because as long as we're physical, we can only know the existence of spirituality, but we can't know its essence, because our minds are thinking in physical terms, in physical space, and so forth. So if the Torah would have only been given to us in a manner of Hasidic terminology, for instance, Kabbalistic things, we can know all the maps and all the details of it. We can configure everything, but we would not know what. But now that when we're learning, for instance, this week's Parsha is Vayakal Pekudei, and we're learning about a Mishkan, and we're learning about how he made the menorah, we know what a piece of gold looks like. We know what a shulchan looks like. So our minds can fully connect to it thoroughly, to the point that it can become totally part of us. That's what he's saying. So he says, V'hoylachada nasa mazayin lenefesh. It becomes food for the soul. V'chayim bekirba. It releases its life in the soul. Mechaya chayim ein seif baruch. What kind of life? This is incredible. The soul is coming from the fountainhead of life. Ein seif baruch, the infinite one. Because the infinite light is radiating in the Torah. And now you're just taking a bite from the infinite light, and it digested it till it became the person. So this is the immortalization of the human being and its connection to what is infinite and what is beyond and forever. From the infinite, from the fountainhead of life, the infinite one, hamilubish, that is vested or enclosed, in his wisdom and in the Torah that is within the soul, that has now become part of the soul. And this is what it says, your Torah is inside my stomach, Shlomo HaMelech says. What does it mean, your Torah is inside my stomach? So now we'll understand, because it's just like food enters into the stomach and it becomes part of the person, the same way over here, as also stated in the writings of the Arizal in Eitz Chaim, Shar Mem Dalet Perek Gimel, Portal 44, Chapter 3, So he says that the Eitz Chaim says like this. This distinction that we just made, that Torah has the ability to enter into the person, and therefore it's called food. So the Eitz Chaim says, which mitzvahs don't have that quality, because mitzvahs don't become you. The mitzvah is bigger than you, that you're just doing. It doesn't become the person. So he says, Eitz Chaim says like this, Shalavushe hanefesh b'gan Eden hena mitzvahs. That the soul, when the soul goes to Gan Eden, it has garments. The soul needs garments. The garments that are supplied for the neshama in Gan Eden are the mitzvahs that we do in this world. They serve as the garments for the soul in the world to come. V'ha-Torah, but the Torah that it studies, who am mazayin l'neshamas, that is the food for the souls. She'asku ba'olam hazeh, that they studied in this world, which means like this: when the soul goes to Gan Eden, just like, everything in the physical world mirrors and reflects the spiritual realms. Our world is just a mashal. It's a because everything in the physical world is based on the spiritual dynamics. So just like in human life over here, the two primary needs that a person needs in order to live, you need clothing. What does clothing do? It protects you from the elements, right? From cold or from bahat, from the heat. Whatever it is, you need clothing. You also need food. And it's only when you have food and clothing that's when a person can survive and live a normal life. So the same is also when a neshama goes to Gan Eden, it enters into that environment, it also needs these two things. It needs garments, and it also needs, what's it called again, food. So the Eitz Chaim says like this, where do we get our garments? Where does the neshama receive its garments, or where does it receive its food? It can't purchase them up there. Up there, there is nothing on sale. Okay, there you got to come with your own, whatever you bring, you have. You can't acquire anything. In order for the soul to get garments, in order for the soul to get food, it has to acquire it down here below. But how does it acquire? So when it studies Torah down here, it's filling up, it's stacking up on food. Now, why? So here's an interesting thing. Even though we are, while we study Torah, when we're physically alive in this world, we are also ingesting godly light, and it's becoming part of us. But while we're in the physical world, we don't see the godly nourishment. We studied, okay, I finished the shiur, I go home. I don't see how my neshama has been transformed now and received Hashem's infinite light has entered into me and become part of me. We don't see it. Okay, but it happens, we don't see it. When the neshama goes up to Gan Eden, then it's gonna have all the Torah that it studied in this world is gonna reappear when the neshama goes to Gan Eden, and over there it's gonna serve as an endless supply of food to keep the neshama sustained. But only the Torah that it studied in this world, we said earlier the neshama also needs garments. Where does the neshama get a garment? Also in this world, when it does mitzvahs, it gets the garment. It uses the garment when it comes in that world. It primarily is when it uses the garment. But here is where it needs to acquire the garment. But what do we see from here? Mitzvahs are called garments, and the Torah is called food. That fits with what we're learning till now. Why? Because that's the idea. The garment goes on the outside, and the food goes on the inside. As he says. However, he makes one condition over there in Eitz Chaim. He says, in order for the Torah to serve as a garment, in order for the Torah to serve as food, he says that the person had to study with the right intentions. As he says, ba'asku ba'olam hazeh b'torah lishma, that it had to study the Torah. Torah lishma means for the proper sake. And as it says in the Zohar, vayakel daf reish yud, the lashon of the Zohar over there in vayakel is like this. The Zohar says, let me just read the Zohar, it's a very nice thing that the Zohar says. Inu nagden tala, it comes down a tal, a dew. I'll call inu de shtadlin b'yraisa, all those who study Torah, lishma, those who study Torah, it doesn't say this doesn't say in the Tanya. I'm just quoting from the Zohar. It says, all these that study Torah lishma, b'hai alma, in this world. Ahu tala, this dew comes down, to nourish that soul. So we see that the Zohar is saying, that's what he's quoting from the Zohar, and it's interesting. See, everything is bashgacha. The Zohar is in Parshas Vayakel, this week's parsha. So what does the Zohar say? That when we're studying Torah, that the Torah becomes food for the neshama if you're studying Torah lishma, for the right purposes. Now why is that? Based on what we learned before. Oh, we'll see in a minute. Oh, we'll see in a second. So, but it means one should study Torah for the right purpose. We'll see in a second what that is. But the question over here is a simple question. I mean, what happens when someone doesn't study Torah lishma? He studies it for the wrong purpose. Let's say someone is studying Torah just that he can become a big rabbi and everybody should honor him. That's what he wants. He's doing it just to show off and to that kind of study. Right, or he studies, so that's not Torah lishma. Or what happens if someone gave a good talk, and this guy feels like jealous or whatever, and he says, I want to show him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. So he goes and he researches that subject in order to disprove what this guy said. So his whole learning was only in order to hurt, to poke the other. That's not Torah lishma. Now, based on what we learned now, he's saying that this unity, the food element of the Torah, is only becoming food for the person if they're studying Torah lishma. Now the question is why? Based on what we learned till now, it should be that it doesn't make a difference, because it seems to be a very technical thing. It's not like some mystical. It's a very technical thing. What is the Torah? The Torah is the wisdom of God. Being that the Torah is the wisdom, that's brought down to us in a manner that's comprehensible to us. The Torah is Hashem's wisdom. He and His wisdom are one. So there is godliness, there is Hashem in the Torah, and that Torah is given to us. When a person eats healthy food for the wrong intentions, not because he wants to be healthy, he's eating this food for whatever his things. Let's say, I'll give some example. He wants to steal something from someone else, the food, from. He doesn't want the other person to have it. And he eats it, so he doesn't know where to hide it. So he takes it, He doesn't want the other person to take it. So he eats that person's food. But if it's healthy food, he'll become healthy. I mean, he'll add health to himself. He's eating vitamins or whatever it is. Even if he's doing it for the wrong intention. If the Torah is godly in essence, and when you're studying, you're digesting this idea into you, and this idea is Hashem, so then why wouldn't it work? Why do you have to study Torah Lishma for it to happen? It seems to be a very technical element, which should happen no matter what. That's why he adds now one line. He says, what do we mean when we say studying Torah Lishma? What is the intention? What do we mean by Torah Lishma? Because we're going to see later in Tanya, there are various different levels in Torah Lishma. When the Zohar says over here that you have to study Torah Lishma in order for the neshama to be food for the Torah to be food and nourishment for the soul, we're talking about a specific kind of Lishma. What does Lishma mean? Let's see further. Ulishma. What does Lishma mean? Haynu kadei lekasher nafshoy laHashem al yedei hasagas haTorah. It means to bind one's soul to Hashem through the comprehension of the Torah. Ish kefisichloi, every person according to his intelligence. Which means that the intention has to be like this. When a person begins to study, he has to say, I am going to study Torah now. Why? Because I want to connect to Hashem. And there's no way, as we said earlier, there's no way that a person can connect to God who is unreachable. He's beyond all comprehension, beyond. The only way I can connect him is through studying his Torah. Because that's where he channels himself down to me, through his Torah. Now, why is this such an important thing? Why is this so vital? Because here's the thing, we understand. What is nourishing the person? What's nourishing the person is the godliness that's in the Torah. Hashem is life. See, it's not the intellect of the Torah that is nourishing us. A soul doesn't get nourished by intelligence. A soul is getting nourished by Hashem. When the neshama is taking Hashem into him, Hashem is life, because Hashem is absolute reality. Hashem exists not with a circumstantial existence. He exists with an essential. He is because he is. So when the neshama, everything else in this world is just circumstantial. It happens to be. It doesn't have a real, solid, absolute existence. It can be or it cannot be. How does a neshama get real life into it? When it takes a piece of God, so to speak, into himself. How does a neshama take a piece of God into himself? Through, the Torah is only a medium. You see? The Torah, the intellect, the knowledge, is only a manner in which we can assimilate it. See, generally, godliness is not graspable. We don't have a handle in which to take it. The concepts, the ideas, the intellect of Torah serves as the handle on which I can pick it up. Because in order for me to be able to take Hashem, in order for the person to be able to grasp Hashem, just like you need a pot. The pot is whatever, you can't pick it up, you need a handle in order to pick it up. So too, in order for us to be able to take Hashem, we take it through the medium of the mind. And the mind, why the mind? Because the mind has such a power of totally becoming united with that which it's taking in. So Hashem dafke chose to convey himself to us through the medium of seichel, through the medium of intellect, so that we can join with him with absolute joining. Okay. Therefore, since what is precious, what is valuable over here, is not the intellect, not the reasoning, not the brilliance of the Torah, but the godliness of the Torah. For that reason, the only way that godliness is going to reveal itself in the person, open itself up in the person, is only if the person desires it. Put it this way. You see, of course, the Hashem has invested himself in the Torah. But it's possible that the godly light that's in the Torah will forever remain locked and non-active, so to speak. It's there, but it remains in a dormant and non-active state. In order for this godliness to enter into the person and then to be released, it's like a person who's taking a capsule, and the capsule has a medicine inside. So you want it, when the person is, you're hoping that, well, when you're putting it in your stomach, that the capsule is going to disintegrate, and the medicine is going to be released into the person. Same as the Torah. The Torah, the wisdom of the Torah is only the capsule. It's only the outer shell. The inside of it is Hashem, is the godliness. The only way that godliness is released into the soul to give it life is if the person desires that relationship. It's when you desire that relationship, then when you're studying the Torah, the godly light that's in the Mishnah will release itself. And that is why, he says, that's the meaning of Torah Lishma. Because in Torah Lishma means one thing. I want to connect. I want Hashem. That's what I want. How do I have Hashem? I have God through study, through Torah study. That's why this is that's why the Zohar says this is a requirement in order for the Torah to serve as nourishment for the neshama. That has to be the approach to Torah study. That when you're sitting down to learn, you're saying, I want to connect now to Hashem. This is my desire. And through the Torah, I'm going to connect. Yes. Yeah, that's lishma.
Is it still lishma?
That's the lishma.
That's not an ulterior motive.
That's the lishma, because that's what it means to learn Torah for the right sake, as a means of attachment to Hashem.
So that's
the true definition of lishma. We are going to, yeah, that's right. We're going to learn later in Tanya that there is even a higher lishma, which means you're studying Torah for the sake of the Torah, not for the sake of you, which means, he's going to explain, I'm just going to say it very bekitzer. It's a person who is so beyond, he's so attached to Hashem on such a high level that he's reached a dimension of neshama that is connected to Hashem even higher than the Torah. Because the essence in the depth of being, the neshama of the Jewish people enjoys even a higher relationship with Hashem than the Torah. In its essence, not in its manifest state, in its essence up there. And when the person studies Torah Lishma, he's studying the Torah in order to contribute to the Torah of his neshama. In other words, based on what we're learning now, the Torah is giving the person. What is it giving the person? It's giving a person an attachment to Hashem. There's a higher form of Torah Lishma, where it's the opposite, where the Jew stands higher than the Torah, and he's learning the Torah in order to deliver godly light into the Torah. Because we have two connections to the Torah. The Jew is connected to the Torah at the bottom. Let's look at the Torah like a tube. Okay? So the Jew can be connected to Hashem through the Torah at the bottom, which means there's the Torah, and then there's the Jew, and our connection to Hashem is only through the Torah. But there is a different dimension where the Torah is connected to Hashem through the Jewish people. And on that level of Torah study, the person is learning L'shem HaTorah, Lishma, for the Torah, to channel Hashem's infinite light into the Torah, to bring Hashem into the Torah. But that's a different discussion, not for now. It's a higher level of Lishma. But that's not what's required for this. Quite on the contrary, but here we're talking about when we're recipients of the Torah. That's why, I mean, that explains the two levels of Lishma actually is going to explain why sometimes the Torah, well, Matan Torah, we know we got married. Sometimes in some midrashim it says that the Torah is the chasen, and we're called the kala. In other places it says that the yidden are the chasen. Hashem was looking for a son-in-law for his daughter, and the Torah is the bride. Why is it sometimes like this, sometimes like that? Because the chasen is the mashpia, and meaning the influence, the giver, and the kala is the recipient. The question is who's giving to who, and in our relationship with the Torah, it's both. We are both the wife and the husband. In terms of the husband, we're the ones who are giving to the Torah from our unique relationship that our souls have in their core essence. But then on a more external level, it's the opposite. The Torah is higher than the Jew, and the Torah is the chasen, and we are the kala, and the Torah is giving us life and nourishment. But for our sake now, what we're learning over here is the person is benefiting from the Torah, is that the Torah is higher than the person. It's the channel through which divinity comes down into us. But the person must study it for the proper purpose. And what is the purpose? I want to bond and I want to connect Hashem. To bond the soul to Hashem through the comprehension of the Torah. Everybody according to his intelligence. As stated in Pri Etz Chaim, that as we said earlier, that you have to have the limit of Torah Lishma for this. Okay. Now, in the parentheses, and the brackets, he's going to conclude. And he says like this. He's going to add one more thing. This parak came to explain how the Torah has a very, very great advantage over mitzvahs. Again, the mitzvahs serve as an encompassing light, and Torah serves as a internal light, and that's what makes the Torah so has a good quality. Now he's going to say, however, See, the sages use two lashonis. In regards to Torah, it says sometimes that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is very gadol, it's very great. However, there's another expression in the sages when they say Talmud Torah is shakul, it weighs against all the mitzvahs. See, when you say something is great, you can say, this has its advantage, this has its advantage, and this advantage and this great thing is so great that it makes it greater than that. But if you say something is equal, it means not only that it might have something nice and something good, but it has whatever the other thing has. Based on what we're learning now, it would seem like Torah has its advantage, its greatness. It's internalizing godly light. Mitzvahs are different. Mitzvahs are enveloping us in Hashem's light. But he wants to explain now how Torah is equal to mitzvahs, meaning Torah is superior and equal to mitzvahs. It's superior because it has the unique element what Torah has, but it's also equal to mitzvahs because it has something that mitzvahs have. See, there's something to say about the mitzvah connection to God, which we might think places the mitzvahs much higher than Torah, which really should. We're going to see in a minute. But nevertheless, he says Torah also has that element. Let's see what that is. When we say before that mitzvahs are what's it called again, bring down a encompassing, envelop us in godly light. And Torah is a manner in which we absorb Hashem's light. The difference between the two of absorbing and being encompassed, being embraced by light, is not only in the degree of our attachment to it. Okay? That when a person comprehends something, you're absorbing it, you're taking it, which means a deeper attachment, a more inner attachment. And when you're enveloped by it, it's a connection, but of a lesser connection. Right? The difference between, that's one difference, but there's another difference. The other difference is like this. Why does the mitzvah, let's look at it this way, why does the mitzvah remain encompassing around the person? And that is because the mitzvah is connected to a level of light that's called Oyer Makif, encompassing light. The Torah, the reason why the Torah comes into the person is because it's connected to a level of godly light, divine projection that is called Oyer Pnimi. Oyer Pnimi means an indwelling light. What is the difference between an Oyer Makif and an Oyer Pnimi? Makif means encompassing, Pnimi means in. In what? Pnimi means a light and an energy that can settle in a vessel. Oyer Makif means light that can't settle in a vessel. So when we're saying that mitzvah is an Oyer Makif, it's an encompassing light, and Torah is an indwelling light, it's not just in relationship to the person, it's, the question is, the very divine light, the very divine projection, the very godliness that's in it is different. The reason why the mitzvah is an Oyer Makif is because we're dealing with light that can't be settled in a vessel. It can't be grasped. We can't comprehend it. It cannot be. But that very notion of it being incomprehensible is indicating that what? That it's higher. It's higher than its ability to be absorbed, to be taken in. The fact that the Torah is an Oyer Pnimi is indicating that in its source it's a lower kind of a light and an energy of God that is targeted and meant to be absorbed in a vessel, in a limited thing. So that would indicate that what? That mitzvahs have something greater over Torah. What is the ma'ala that mitzvahs have over greater Torah? It's greater light. The fact that the mitzvah is not something that we can comprehend is indicating that we're dealing with a level of godly light that is not coming into vessels. It's beyond the vessel. That's why you can't absorb it. Torah is something that's coming in a vessel. So that would seem to imply like this. Torah has a ma'ala. The Torah has an advantage that what? That we are absorbing it more. But that very thing is indicating its disadvantage. The very fact that we're able to absorb it is indicating that the level of godly light in it is lower and inferior to the level of the mitzvah. Because mitzvah is Hashem's will that cannot be absorbed in a vessel. And Torah is a lower level, something that could come in a vessel. It could come into a vessel. So it would seem that we're saying Torah is greater than mitzvahs, but mitzvahs are also greater than the Torah. Each one has something that the other doesn't possess. So he's going to add now, no, Torah has both. It has the Oyer Pnimi, the indwelling light, and Torah also has the element of Oyer Makif. So Torah is shakul, it weighs equivalent to mitzvahs because it has both. It has the advantage and the mile of whatever mitzvahs has. Above and beyond that, it also has the other element. And there's two dimensions in the Torah itself. And that is something like this. When a person is studying, when you're learning, there are two things that happen. First of all, we understand that there is, first there is the comprehension. There is that which we understand. That which we understand is the Or Pnimi, is the godly light that we can, that settles in our vessel. But we understand that no matter which subject we're learning in Torah, there's so much of it that remains beyond our comprehension. You're learning a Pasuk, you'll never get to the end of that Pasuk. And even if you're learning a Mishnah of Torah Shabbat Peh, we will never get to the core of what the sages are really saying. It's the layers and the layers of depth and meaning and understanding of it goes on and on and on. That's why till today they're still unraveling, full, and every yeshiva constantly discovering new depth and new meaning and new chedushim in the thing, because it's endless. So when a person is comprehending, you're comprehending that which you're comprehending, but there will always be godliness that is above and higher. That's why. So when you're learning Torah, two things are happening. The Or Pnimi is taking in, what you're taking in Or Pnimi, in an inner light, is being assimilated into the person. That's the Or Pnimi of the Torah. But there is an Or Makiv of the Torah, meaning the Torah as the fact that this is God's wisdom, and therefore united with Him, and therefore forever incomprehensible and unknowable. That's the Or Makiv of Torah. So comes out, Torah has both. When you're studying, you're taking in Hashem, you're also being enveloped by His light, by the Or Makiv of the Torah. And that sense, it's equal to all the mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs have the demand. Mitzvahs have a deficiency that mitzvahs only have the Or Makiv. They don't have the Or Pnimi. They don't have the indwelling. Torah has both. That's what he's going to explain. V'hamazoin, let's read inside. I'll try to finish the perek today. V'hamazoin and the food. Hubchenas Or Pnimi, that's an indwelling light. That's what it says. V'halavushim. Remember we said that the food is the food for the soul in Gan Eden. That's called an Or Pnimi, an indwelling light. V'halavushim and the garments, pchenas makifim. They are connected to the levels of Hashem that are called makif. Which means the difference between makif and pnimi is not only what the person is doing, it's also in the way Hashem is projecting. Hashem projects two kinds of light. He projects a light that remains makif, that cannot be taken in a keli. He projects a light that could be taken in a vessel. And what we're learning over here is that the garments are coming from the makif light, and the mazon, the food, are coming from the pnimi light. So now he says, Olachein Amar Rezal, and it's because of this that the sages tell us, Shetalmud Torah shakul keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. That the study of Torah is equivalent and equals and weighs the same like all the mitzvahs. Why? Lefi shaha mitzvahs hem levushim levat. Mitzvahs are only makif. They're only the levush. There is no pnimi at all. You're not taking it in. You're not supposed to understand it. You're supposed to just do it. V'ha-Torah and the Torah who is both. Humazoin. It's nourishment. What's the nourishment of it? Everybody according to what they understand. See, the nourishment of it is different. Every person comprehends whatever they understand. That's the nourishment. What you're taking in. V'gam levush lenefesh. And the Torah is also a levush to the soul. Lenefesh amaskelis, to the rational soul that is comprehending it. Why? Because there will always be that which is beyond your understanding. When you're studying the Torah, you're not getting to the end of it. That part is hovering above you. The godliness that is higher than the person will always be above the person. Shemeslabish babi yuna vilimuda. That the soul is enclosing itself in the Torah. Bi yuna, when you're thinking deeply. Vilimuda, when you're studying it. There is that element of the Torah where the person is dipped inside of it, and the Torah is bigger than the person. For kolshkein. Now, this element of Or Makif, the Torah has within it not just the Or Pnimi, but also the Or Makif, which means the encompassing light, is emphasized to a greater degree. First of all, it's whenever we're studying. Now again, why whenever we're studying? Because no matter what we understand and comprehend, there is always that which we don't understand, which is above the mind and higher than the understanding. But then he says to add to that, even on a greater degree, is when a person is verbalizing it. When you're studying Torah, and you're not just... See, you can learn Torah like this. And you're just reading it with your eyes. That's nice. But there's something very strongly missing over there. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is also to say it, to articulate it in words. Why? See, the words, saying it in words, not adding necessarily to the comprehension. We'll see soon it really does. But the saying it in words, the main mila of why do you also have to say it in words, is in order for the Torah to also have the mila of the mitzvah. What is the mila of the mitzvah? Is that the mitzvah is an Or Makif, referring to higher godliness, that which can't come in a vessel. It says in Pri Etz Chaim from the Arizal, that speech speech, just the dibur, speech, has a very, very, very great power in drawing down or makif, encompassing light. That's why when a person is not only comprehending Torah, but he's saying it, so the comprehension of it is the or pnimi. The saying of it stimulates an or makif. That's what he says. When he articulates it with his mouth, bedibur in speech, shehevel hadibur, the breath of the speech. We're talking the very substance of the speech, the breath, not even the content. The fact that you're breathing air, which is the makeup, which makes up the words, that mysteriously draws down the or makif. Shehevel hadibur nasib chenes or makif becomes the encompassing light, like stated in Pri Etz Chaim, that is what speech has within it, the power to unleash and reveal the Or Makif. Now in Lakuti Torah from the Tanya, in a Maimer and Pashas Bishalach, he adds a little insight where you see that speech stimulates the Or Makif. He says, you find something strange, and we see this all, that when you can study something and really know it well and understand it, but then when you share it with others, or you're giving it over, suddenly it becomes so much more. The depth, the understanding, the illumination of it intensifies. You'll find that, especially if you give classes a lot. I see it always. When you're giving a share, sometimes I'm so bewildered, I'm giving a Thursday class, whatever it is, and when you start speaking it, suddenly the degree of clarity that comes, and depth that emerges when you're saying it. Why? Because Dibur has a very special shorish. It's called in Chassidus in Kadmus HaSeichel, in the pre-element of where intellect comes from. Speech, which is a very external thing, for some reason is rooted in the pre-consciousness of the human being. And when you're speaking, it's stimulating from that very Or Makif, from the Keser of the soul, and releasing more energy into the intellect and into the mind. So you see from here that speech has that special quality. And for that reason, when a person studies Torah, and he does both, he's comprehending and saying, you have both mind. That's why both are important. You can fulfill the mitzvah of Torah study just by saying, especially Torah Shebiksav. If you say Chumash, you're yotze the mitzvah, even if you don't understand it. But then you're lacking the main mila of Torah, and that is you can become so joined with Hashem that Hashem can enter into the human being. If the person only, however, on the other hand, if the person only comprehends but doesn't say it with his mouth, you're lacking in the Or Makif, in the encompassing light, in the godly light. The greatest thing is to study and learn and understand, and at the same time say it with your mouth. Because then you're gaining both Or Pnimi and Or Makif at the same time. That which mitzvah only has, the Or Makif. That's the concludes Perek Dalin. And in Perek Hay. And Bez Hashem, next week we're going to begin Perek Vav, which in Perek Vav, he's going to introduce now the whole other side of the animal soul and its whole realm of unholiness and so forth. And that's going to all prepare us for Perek Tes, where he's going to start discussing the actual battle and conflict of how these two souls interact with each other and the war and the human constant war in human life over what kind of life we're going to live. We're going to live the godly life or the animal soul's life. And that's going to determine the names that we began in the beginning of Tanya, who's the Beinoni, the Tzaddik, the Rasha, and the various things.
Yeah.
What? We're going to learn soon. Everybody's got their choice.